You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, how can that happen in my multi-million dollar studio? Mosquitoes flying in through the lights. If he comes down here again, I'm going to get him good. Keep my eye on him. How dare he do this, especially on November 2nd. He's working his way back. Got him!
It's Mosquito Flicking Friday.
There he is, Mosquito Flicking Friday. Welcome, folks. Welcome. God bless you, man. Good to be home, getting ready to leave again. Got my new shirt on. Dale Socia sent that to me. Look at that. Trump. Wow. 2020, the sequel. Make the liberals cry again. I'll probably get beat up in the airport wearing this thing around. But Dale, I appreciate it. Send me some beignets. He sent me some coffee and chicken, whatever that stuff's called, a coffee mug. Dale, man, appreciate you more than even I love people that give gifts. We're supposed to have Sheila Zelensky with us, a weekend vigilante. I was on the phone with her yesterday. Jared was on the phone with her. She lives in Canada, out on the western way out there. So it's 4:02 in the morning. Oh, maybe she overslept. I don't know. She was really excited about being on the show with us. If we're not able to connect with her today, then we'll figure out a way to get her in here. Whatever. I just thought it was great because of the buildup that we've just had regarding the spiritual warfare and all that kind of stuff. I got my book with me. Sheila's Power of Prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle, there's something to this, man. There's something. Yeah. There's something to this for sure. And
hey, so, Coach.
Yeah, Paul.
Even the prayer for the meal is powerful.
It's all powerful, isn't it? And so I just thought it would be really, really good. I got some stuff I really wanted to ask Sheila today. So let's pray she's going to be able to figure out a way to get in there. She never really, folks, for those of you who don't know, we're on what you call Google Meet, Google Hangouts. She'd never really done that. In fact, out where she lives, maybe she doesn't even have the capability to be able to do it because of the technology or the internet or whatever. I don't know. But Jared had her connected up yesterday and actually brought her into a huddle to make sure that we were able to get it going. And she's not with us. So if she pops in here, we'll get it going. And in the meantime, the show must go on, and we're going to go on with the show. Hey, Tim Moon, got your donation yesterday, man. I want to appreciate it. Hey, folks, I'm a little bit behind. I got to. I've been traveling a lot, you know. Just got back from Iowa. Heading to Bethlehem, PA later on this afternoon. Got a busy week. Going to be in Florida most of the week next week. Something's really cool. Craig, guess who's Craig? Well, Craig is, I met Craig up in Iowa. And Craig is driving. Some of you may not know what this is. It's called a skid steer. Skid steer. In other words, little forklift. And Craig is heading to Florida. I believe he's going to leave on Sunday. I don't know if Craig's in here with us today or not. He was in the show yesterday with us. I was sitting at the kitchen table with him yesterday. He is loading up his own skid steer, if you can imagine that, his own little bobcat, and driving that sucker all the way down to 14, 18 hours. Can't remember what he said. Driving that thing all the way down to Florida to help with the hurricane relief down there. So we got guys coming. We got a crew of about six of us coming in, I think, this week. And Jim, I think I saw you in here, Jim. Can you come on in here and give us a little bit of an update, buddy? Unless you're laying there asleep listening to it. Sometimes that's what my wife does. She acts like she gets up. Sometimes she lays in bed. I see Jim's in here.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Coach, we got five guys coming, plus you and Gary and I think myself. So we should have about eight.
Skid steer. How about that, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, and we've needed that all along. That's going to be a major help through the week, what Craig's bringing. And so looking forward to it.
Yes, yes, sir. And so we got room for more. Some of you, when I had some other guys up in Iowa ask about coming down. Now the, you know, the actuality of making that happen, that's tough. It's tough. Yeah, you know, got to give up. You got to get up, give up work. For instance, Craig, going to be. I think he said 18 hours. I think. So, folks, you figure that's a day and a half driving, right? I mean, 18 down, 18 back. So, you know, that eats up a week pretty quickly. But he knows that he has the tools. He has the equipment to be able to do it. So he's heading down there. I'm going to be down there next week. Then we're going to be at Chad's house. On hey Chad, is Chad in here? Yeah, I think I was maybe in. Sometimes Fridays, Chad doesn't jump in here with us. But I sent an email to Chad yesterday. I don't have it. Jared, bear with me a second because I want people to see this a second. Over here on my other computer. Who? Let's see. Let's go here, Coach. Let's go right here. Jared, there it is. No, Chad, Dom, Jared, no. Where the heck is it? I want you to see something that absolutely blew me away. Sometimes, not sometimes, often I get amazed by what the Lord does. You know, the way that He strategically plans stuff that we don't even know He's planning. By the way, I'll meet you at the polls. That's coming up. Where is this thing? Meet you at the pool is the last one this weekend. Then we hit going to the real pool at that point. Gee, where is this thing? Anyway, the Planned Parenthood in Texas and Austin. Let me see if this will work. Austin, Plan. Jared can probably Google it. This is how wicked America is. Upcoming coach, truth going. There it is. No. The Planned Parenthood in Austin, Texas pays $1 a year for the rent to the city. See, Jared, see if you can see. I know I sent it to somebody. I sent it to Chad. Where it is. $1. The Planned Parenthood spends a dollar in rent. $1. Man, I'm telling you, we are so behind the eight. You're just gonna have to trust me. That's happening and yada yada yada. Is that thing there and that green light? Anyway. Hey Todd Henry, good to see you there this morning. So Jared, I got you doing 10 things. Pull up Bethlehem, PA there, brother. Pull up Bethlehem, PA. That's where I'm heading today. Heading to Hellerton, actually. Hellerton Huddle. First regional Pennsylvania huddle at Hellertown, PA. Now, we put up there between 9 and 3. It's going to start at 9. We don't know if it's going to go to 3 o'clock. We got a lot of different presentations. Click on that thing for me, Jared, if you can there. I don't know if it gives a whole lot of information. There's where it's going to be. Heading over tonight. Going to be there bright and early. Tanya's done a great job organizing it. Between 50 and 100 people. We're going to talk about spiritual warfare. Education reform and born again testimony. I'm going to do a few teachings and we're just going to try to wake up and unify the body of Christ out there. It's like I told the guys when we were in Iowa, third time I've been to Iowa, by the way, that, British are coming, man. And we got to get organized. And we find out that when we go down to, hey, yes, Jared, David Author just maybe put the link in there for us, if he did, about Planned Parenthood, that, we find out when we go to these hurricane areas that people aren't prepared. We just never think it's going to strike, going to hit us. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to wake up people from all around America, different stratagems, different areas. We got them going to Wisconsin. We got them going in Texas. We got it going in Iowa. We're going out to Pennsylvania. We got it. And we're trying to bring it to a building near you. Up on the screen, there you see Austin rents to Planned Parenthood for $1. A year. Now, folks, why doesn't stuff like this irritate us? Why do they get away with doing that? Why is Planned Parenthood so much a part of the government? That ought to tell us something about evil government and who they're connected with. The property is located in East Austin and is worth the rent on that place should be $110,000 per year. But Planned Parenthood is paying $1 to rent the property. and plans to spend $1.2 million in renovations. One would think the Austin City Council would ensure Planned Parenthood would at least pay their fair share, as residents are dealing with school closures, major increase in property taxes. Said residents' property taxes are equivalent to Planned Parenthood's special rent for 1,000 years. Another organization, Austin Life Care, recently sent a proposal to the city to rent the same property at fair market value. Austin Life Care performs services similar to Planned Parenthood without killing unborn babies, but they didn't even consider it. And it just doesn't even make sense. So that's the kind of thing we're talking about. And we're going to be, if you go back to the calendar, we're going to be in Austin, PA, at that very place on November 9th and 10th. Chad. Somebody's coming in. Is that Chad?
Yeah, that's me. It's Bobby Lee.
Okay, Bobby.
Yeah, talk about making money hand over fist. In the past, I've talked about foster care and the psychological industry being all about money. But I guess an abortion costs $400. Somebody's going to have to correct me if I'm wrong. But years ago, when I was really doing deep research, it was about 40,000 abortions per week that I saw. I don't think that that's right. But I'm talking about making massive money hand over fist, and that doesn't even include, let's get ugly, that doesn't even include the money that's made with the body parts that's farmed out thereafter.
It's amazing, isn't it? And see, the same connection that we're always, at least I'm always trying to make, that same daggone connection, is the government always seems to be in the middle of it, reaping the benefits of it. Folks, are you picking up on this yet? Are we really beginning to understand and see what's going on in our midst, that this government connection to the slaughter of unborn children, and why the Republican Party also will not stop it? The Republican Party, I tell people this over and over and over and over and over. The Democratic Party, we send money, tax dollars, to Planned Parenthood, and Planned Parenthood sends the money out the back door to Democratic politicians. They say to keep abortion legal, but that's part of it, but that's not the reason. And then the Republicans raise all these thousands and millions of dollars in contributions to end Planned Parenthood, end abortion. So the government funds abortion and the church funds the opposition to abortion, and nothing ever changes. And look, this is the kind of stuff we're dealing with. Chad, what are we going to do about that? What are we going to do about that, Chad? Down there in Austin, PA, they're not even paying rent down there to kill unborn babies. Amen. Amen.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Talking about the land, the rent, and everything, kind of is ironic. I'm studying for my real estate license here in Oklahoma.
Uh huh.
And just some of the things and the laws that are on the books about land and how the government can take it from you. It's diabolical. It's evil. I mean, they take your land. You don't pay your rent. They take your land, and then you can buy it back from them, you know, at a reasonable price, quote unquote. But that's just, if you probably go down and look at the history of the land on that property, who knows who owned it or whatever, and it's a sweetheart deal that they made probably.
They're all sweetheart deals, aren't they, Paul?
It's diabolical. It's evil.
And folks, see diabolical, that comes Diablos, right? Jared Webster's 18 there. Jared's on top of it, man. That shows he's listening. Diablos. See what that says, Jared, if that word was even around. Diablos. Diabolical. That might do it. That's what diabolic, devilish. Diablos, pertaining to the devil. Hence, extremely malicious, impious, atrocious, nefarious, outrageously wicked, partaking of any quality ascribed to the devil. Isn't that something in our vernacular? And then we're talking about spiritual warfare and believing in the devil. And so much of our language is already included in our language. It is diabolic. Now, here's something else. I hope some of you guys are sitting down and understand this. We are, if Donald Trump is able to continue doing what he's doing, remain alive, he's able to continue to press through. You know, understand, don't you, that there is a financial reset coming. That Donald Trump, believe it or not, believe what you want to believe, is going to try to call ikshnay That was a term we used to use when I was young. Ictionary means no way. Ictionary. On the whole Federal Reserve System. Ictionary. No more. No more. We ain't going to do this fiat money. And we're not going to be paying money to the Rothschilds and to the, we're not going to do it anymore. That's why they want to, that's really why they want to get rid of it. Because it, that, see, that system has to break up because we're so far in debt that there's no way that we're ever going to be able to pay our way out of the debt. And the only one getting rich on it are the bankers. And that's exactly what Paul was just talking about. That's what led me into that. The whole mortgage scheme, it's diabolical, right? And the Constitution of the United States gives Americans the right, gives the Congress the power to coin money, not print fiat currency, not to come off of the gold standard, which Nixon did to us, that I believe is in 1973, not to come off of that standard, that where a dollar remained a dollar because it was a value as compared to gold. There was something backing it. In today's money, there is nothing backing today's dollar. It's not worth the paper that it's written on. Yes.
Yeah, good point. And I think the million-dollar question, maybe the question is, what system's going to come out of that? Because kind of talking about this before the show, but without Jesus Christ as the centerpiece of our nation, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I personally don't think what comes out of that is going to be what people think.
What do you mean?
I think it could lead to more control. As long as the government controls it, it's going to be diabolical. Because, see, we're looking to government to fix the problem when really it's kind of gone into Trump worship. I mean, look, they really think 50% of the people really think Donald Trump's going to fix this whole mess.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It's Jesus Christ that's. And as long as we're looking to a man to do it, I think whatever system comes after this has the potential to be even worse.
I think this. Here's what I think. Donald Trump, as I've said before, is a battering ram. Dale sent me the shirt. Make liberals cry again. He's a battering ram. And I'm not sure that he's gonna fix any of this stuff. Be honest with you. I think he is a battering ram. I think he comes in to destroy and break stuff up, and then it's going to be reformed. And if we think those who are in control and have the power and the money forces and all that, we think that they're just going to yield their power. Okay, we're new currency now. Okay, sure. Oh, that'd be good. No, I'm not sure about that. Right. So here's my take on it. See, we have tough times coming. Financially tough times. And I don't know how long it'll last. And I don't know if there's going to be a reset. There has to be a reset. I don't know what that reset's going to be like. I don't know who's going to do it. I agree with you, George, that the power could become, it could be even more corrupt. But I'm going to tell you that this dollar system, the way it is. See, here's what I think is going to happen. This just is how gullible people are. This could have happened. I don't know if it still will. Still, it's hard to say. Still will. I envision this, that the government is going to do a reset. They're going to say, hey, you know, we're going to reevaluate our currency here a little bit. It's kind of gotten out of control with us. And here's what we're going to do. We've got this new thing, this new dollar that we're going to call it. And here's what we want you to do. For every old dollar that you bring in, we're going to give you $3. So you bring us in 10, we'll give you 30. You bring us in 100, we'll give you 300. And people are going to say, are you kidding me? Wow. And so they're going to go turn all their money in, if there will even be money. You know, it could be just digits after that. They'll come and turn all that money in. And then all of a sudden, the inflation, what happens is going to kick in, and it's going to be devastating. But I think some type of reset, that's probably how it's going to work. Now, listen, I'm not a financial expert. I'm going to get off this subject before I sound like a fool. Does anybody have any perspective on that?
Well, you know, what you just said, in effect, has taken place maybe a dozen times in our history in the military. When you're in the military serving overseas, I don't know about currently over there in Iraq and Iran and everything, But when we were in Vietnam, they we never got paid in dollars. We got paid in military payment certificates. It looked like Monopoly money, kind of. And about every 7 to 9 months, they would reprint new Monopoly money for us. And we would have to trade in the old for the new. And the purpose was is to keep the counterfeit and keep all the illicitly obtained money out of the system. And they're going to use, just like you said, the same tactic to clean up the quote system. And it's going to cause a worldwide recession to make the 30s look like paradise.
It has to, folks, it has to happen. And that's why I'm still a believer in tangible things you can hold. Gold, food, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's already happening in some respects around the world. A lot of countries are going away from the dollar. They're going into the Chinese and the Brazilians, and they're getting ready to form another, like a currency almost. A BRICS, they call it, is what they call it.
Here's what they did to us, right? In the 70s, they took us off the gold, and they put us on what they called the petrodollar. Oil became gold, became the new gold. And that's how, that. If you go back and check your history, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran, that's when they began to become more powerful on the national stage because they had all the oil. And so we traded the petrodollar, and the petrodollar was the idea that anybody who wanted to buy oil around the world had to buy their oil in the American dollar. That's the way the system was set up. And so we became in control of all of it. But now we see what's going on. See, we're now producing more oil. We're the largest exporter of oil in the world. Did you guys know that now? We are, the United States is once again, which we could have been all along, but it was all suppressed and held down because of the petrodollar, the whole worldwide control. But we now see that China and I can't remember the other one are no longer dealing in petrodollars. And in other words, we don't have a monopoly anymore on the way people buy oil. Okay. So when that petrodollar falls apart, what's going to be the foundation underneath petrodollar? China's buying up a lot of gold. Russia's buying up a lot of gold. Germany's trying to buy up a lot of gold. Is there any gold in Fort Knox? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. And so ultimately, tangible things are and will continue to be important. I'm going to tell you this. Silver has never been cheaper. And at some point, silver and gold are going to, what's going to happen to their value is going to be amazing. Now, I don't know, are they going to try to, seize your silver and seize your gold? It's diabolical, right? It's a diabolical system that we're trapped up in. And so,
hey, Dave, I got a good idea. I like what George said, that Trump can't fix it. But guess what? A man is going to fix it. He's called the Antichrist.
Yeah, or a system, a man. It's coming.
The conversation plays into the preparedness that we've been part of for years on the huddle. Is
right.
When the reset hits, and I am 100% in agreement, it is going to happen.
Has to hit. Has to.
The bigger problem is really going to be the streets of America.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness, I don't even know what it will look like, and the government will not be able to control it.
No, they won't. And you know, you just look out right now. How many people? First of all, let's be clear of something. Much of our debt, folks. You do know this, don't you? That the United States government doesn't print money. The United States government gave the money printing power to the Federal Reserve, which is a private organization. It would be like me and Roger and George and Chad and Mark Trump. We get to print all the money. We just print it out of thin air, and then we get to lend it all to all you all, and you pay us interest on it. So the Federal Reserve is printing up these worthless dollars, and then they're loaning them to Roger. And Roger goes out and buys a house with some of these worthless dollars, and Roger pays them 8% on that money. And so much of the debt that we have, folks, this is much of the debt we have is debt to ourselves. Did you know that? Did you know the national debt, the money they say we're spending on the national debt? Do you do understand this, don't you? It's printed money by the Federal Reserve. We owe money to ourselves, but we don't really owe it to ourselves because we gave control of the money over to the Federal Reserve. And it's just a group of private bankers. Oh, my goodness. And until we return control of our money back to the people, here it is, bill holder. Gold is money. Everything else is credit. And so we have a credit-based system. That's what we're dealing with. I didn't mean to get into the finances, but it's all important. So just even a little bit, this is my advice. What's that they say? I'm not a financial expert, and I'm not allowed to give financial advice. However, it would behoove you to buy a little bit of silver. With every paycheck, buy a little bit of it. Buy a dollar's worth. 17, you can probably get a nice coin for about 14, 15, 16. What's the price of silver right now, Jared? $14.78. You can get a 1 ounce silver coin. So, folks, every time you get paid, go buy some silver. Now, this is hard to understand. You don't spend money when you buy silver. It's an investment. You're not spending money. In fact, you could take that silver dollar that you bought this week and you could go cash it in next week. It's a holder of value. And all of the value of money, our dollars and everything, is all artificially made. And so therefore, eventually at some point, tangible things, things that you can hold on to, are going to become valuable. Think about real estate. Think about I made a wise investment. My house is now worth $250,000 and we only paid $154,000. No, your house is still worth the same price it always was. The dollar isn't worth as much. So now it takes more dollars. And now it takes $250,000 to buy that $150,000 home. You haven't made any money. And then how about this? Then you sell that home and then the government charges you taxes on that $100,000 profit you made off your house when it wasn't even profit. You were just keeping up with inflation and with the market. It is such a rigged, diabolical system. It cannot keep up. It cannot. It will fall within its own weight. So what do we see now? Truth. Listen, abortion has consequences, folks. Abortion has consequences. We've aborted 60 million people. 60 million. It's more than that. Because the 60 million people that were since 1973, somebody born in 1973 would be what? 40, would they be 40, 45 today? Is that right? 46 years old if you're born 1973? So if you were 45 years old, born in 1973, you would have had children probably. You what? You had two children, three children? So let's say it's three children and everybody would have had three children. So that 60 million people rapidly becomes, wow, 180 million, right? People who aren't here. And because those people aren't here, Social Security is falling apart. Why is Social Security falling apart? Because Social Security, when it first started, there were 250 payers to everyone it was receiving. Well, now there's four people paying the ones it's receiving. The system cannot keep up. So what do they have to do? Well, they got to bring in new taxpayers. And who are these new taxpayers? Well, these new taxpayers are immigrants coming across the border. And they tell us they're coming here for freedom. See, the system is so screwed up that those immigrants, when they come across the border, they're not producing yet. So what do? We give them welfare. We give them more money because the money is worthless. We just think it's worth something, but it's worthless. See? So all of this stuff, all of this is all part of the Alinsky plan to overwhelm the system. We cannot do this. We cannot do it. I saw yesterday 3,500 some of the people coming across the border, depending on the number of children they had, the food subsidies and welfare, and some of them are receiving $3,500 a month government assistance. Folks, how's that continue on?
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Wow, that's staggering. Hey, just backing up just a minute to gold and silver. I've heard it said before that the longer they artificially keep a commodity down like gold and silver, when it starts going up, it will go up drastically. Yeah. So if you ever think there's going to be a better time to buy gold and silver, there probably won't, because it costs $1,200 to mine gold out of the ground. They can't really go lower than $1,200 and make any money. Right. So just keep that in mind. If I believe the day's coming quickly where it'll shoot up and then you won't be able to afford it.
So it's manipulated, and silver has an industrial use. Silver is in every computer, every cell phone. Silver is going to soon be in very, very short demand. I don't know if you know this. Maybe some of you follow it, maybe you don't. About 6 or 7 years ago when we had some financial issues, maybe it was even a little bit longer than that, silver had made it all the way almost to $50 an ounce. Are you guys, are you people aware of that? It was $50 an ounce about 2008, I think it was. Jared, maybe you could even, maybe you could Google that. See, ask the price of silver. Because right now.
I just did, Coach. And silver back in December of 1979 was $115 an ounce.
Silver was $115 an ounce when, Larry?
December of
1979. In the midst of a financial collapse, right?
So then again, in May of 2011, it was up to $43.
So, folks, see, there you are. See, it's manipulated, right? So people are going to go into silver when the stock market isn't looking like a good investment. So look at it. Look at Jared. Jared's got a chart up in front of us, folks. I don't know if you can see it. Jared, scroll back over to 2000. Silver, can you believe that was worth $6 an ounce? Jared, scroll on back. Come on back the other way, Jared. Right there where Larry was talking about. Silver was... A little bit more, Jared. A little bit farther. A little bit farther. Oh, silver was, that was October, July 1980. That was $28. And we know about inflation. Jared, let's go the other way. Oh, $115 in February 1980. $115 for that same silver coin. $115. Wow, are you kidding me? Oh, no, I'm not kidding you, right? And look at this. So ask yourself this, to pick any other thing that you would want. Pick a gallon of gas. Somebody told me this. I kind of study it. So I'm getting into this now. Somebody told me this. Said, listen, an ounce of gold will always, let me make it more simple. An ounce of silver will always buy a gallon of gas. That's what somebody told me one time. A dollar of silver will buy a gallon of gasoline, because they're somehow connected, right? So if you think about back in 1970, Jared, go back to let's go right. Well, this is because we're in the oil crisis, right? But let's remember, I'm going to confuse you. I don't want to. A dollar, let's say a dollar of gas, Jared, go to 19. Cause let's slide back when it's cheaper, Jared. Right there. Stop right there, Jared. That's July 25th, 1975. An ounce of silver was worth $23.55, right? All right. But if you had a quarter, what would a quarter be? A quarter of that would be 1/4 of 23 would be $6. So a quarter of a dollar will always buy a gallon of gas. That's what somebody told me. And it's been pretty true all across the way. See, gas prices go up, but the price of silver kind of balances it out. Now, that was before they got manipulating it with you with the crude oil prices and all that kind of stuff. Here's the point I'm making. Larry, if it was $115 in 1980, in $1980, it will be that again. Now, folks, don't miss this point. Silver is not more valuable. The dollar is less valuable. The dollar becomes less valuable, worth less, so it takes more dollars to buy the silver. Am I making this sense? Am I making sense on this? See, we had the housing crisis back, 2008, we had that housing crisis, and it happened to me. Our home value went from $186,000 when we bought it, it went all the way down to $140,000. How do you lose $40,000 on your home when you've improved it and put money into it? Because it's all manipulated, see. So what we have right now, they call it a bubble, right? A housing bubble, meaning what? The house is not worth what they say it's worth. We're in a bubble right now. And then when this bubble breaks, whether it be the housing bubble, the stock market bubble, whenever that bubble breaks, people are going to run into tangible assets. They're going to run into gold or silver. Now, when I first got aware of it, Jared pointed, you can see that line about 2000, come on over here a little bit farther, Jared, about 2005. Let's Okay, so there it is. Look at right there. Stay there, Jared. 2007. Nope, back the other way, Jared. I'm sorry. Go to 2000. Go right to 2000, Jared. Right there. Right there. There it is. Silver, $6.93. $6.93, October 20th. Now we go back to 1980, right? 1980, 20 years earlier, it was 115. Look at that. Okay. Now, Jared, let's slide over. Where did it go in 2007? Come on back. It's still the same piece of silver, right? 2007, go a little bit farther. Okay, Jared, go maybe a little bit later. Let's go a little bit more, Jared, that little peak right there. Right there. $42. May of 2011 is $42.79. Same silver dollar. That's what it's worth. What is it today, Jared? Scroll over a little bit more. Wow, $14.55. See what's going on? See how they manipulate, right? So when this fiat money, when all of a sudden they pull the plug, when this bubble gets burst, does anybody have any idea what's going to happen to silver? Well, I promise you this, it ain't gone down. It isn't gone down. And so what silver is a value holder. It maintains its value no matter what the dollar, what's going on. So you can go right now, get paid this week, go to the local coin store, $20, you can get yourself a gold silver coin. In fact, I got one around here someplace, a little silver coin. Maybe I could go get you one, show you what it looked like. I don't know where it is. Don't come and rob me. I don't have much. But I got one. I bought, because I've done some of it. Buy one. Okay? Anybody got any advice for me? Jump in there. Say something.
Hey, Coach, a little bit of biblical reality here. You know, the four Gospels were written to the world. The book of Hebrews was written to the Jewish nation. So was the book of James. James addresses his book to the 12 tribes.
I'm listening.
And
yes.
Chapter 5 of James says in verse 3, your gold and silver is cankered. Well, let's start at verse 1. Chapter 5, verse 1 of James. Go to now, ye rich man, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Now, gold and silver are going to be a temporary backup to help us survive during bad times. But even gold and silver are going to turn to rust.
I couldn't agree more, Larry. Could not agree more. But right now, it is a value holder. When the whole thing goes, baby, the whole thing's going to go. All right? That's the truth. Yes.
Coach, I'll just echo that. Larry, that was a mic drop moment. I hope people understood that, because I think what Coach is getting ready to say is have it, because for that temporary period, you're going to need it. But ultimately, again, it's just like we talked about Donald Trump. If our whole hope is in Donald Trump fixing the system, it ain't going to happen. Just like if our whole faith is in gold and silver, that ain't going to secure our future long term.
Absolutely. Mike, drop it right there.
Hey, Coach, you ready to put on your tinfoil hat and connect a few dots? Because this, in order to make the gold and silver cankerish, the first thing is going back to Caesarea Philippi, where we have these two Greek words, petros and petra. We're talking petros. What is the value and how is the dollar weighed out right now? Petro, it's based on the barrel of oil, the cost of oil. The right. Word petro is to be is drawn from a rock. Now, remember going back to studying of the Caesarea of the Philippi, what were they saying? That these devils flowed out from underneath the rock. So, brother, when you want to talk about the collapse, what China is trying to do right now even is to collapse that value of the dollar, of the petro, all right, to bring the whole system down. And when it goes down, that will also bring into where our gold and our silver, you know, you can't eat gold and silver. It can't sustain you. Eventually, it becomes cankerous also. But going back to Petro, the word Petro, if you look it up in the dictionary, means from a rock.
Wow.
What rock are we talking about? Jesus was upon the rock. So in other words, we've made dollar, we've made oil our God. And brother, yeah, that's coming down.
Okay, now listen, let me guard you here a bit, okay? Or not guard you, but I heard what George said, and I heard about Larry said about being canker. Listen, there's going to be a time before it all goes no good where it's still going to be somewhat barterable. Now, let me give you this advice. Here's something that you can do very, very easy, and you know it's up to you. I'm holding in my hand here a quarter. All right, this is a fake quarter. This is the type of quarter that they give us today. And I got to get up and see if I see myself on the screen here. This is the quarter dollar. And this quarter dollar is supposed to be worth what? Well, it's worth it used to be silver. And so you could take this quarter dollar. What's silver right now, Larry? $14. Let's make it easy. Let's say silver is $12. No, it's not, but just for math numbers. Silver is $12. Okay. So if silver is $12, what is a quarter worth? Well, it's worth a quarter of wealth. So a quarter should be $3 right there, right? It's not though, because if you look in close to it, it's got copper inside of it. It doesn't have silver. But this is what they call junk silver. This is a old I didn't know I was going to do this show today, so bear with me. Put that up to the screen there. That's a 1964. Is that what it says? That's a 1964 quarter. Now, folks, listen. This one is silver. This is tangible. This is valuable. Now, this quarter is about 75% silver. If I were to melt it down, there's 75% silver in this thing right here. Okay. So stay with me, do the math. Let's say silver is worth three. You can melt this thing down, melt this old one down. It ain't worth nothing. You might get a penny out of it. Copper, maybe. But if you melted this thing down, let's make it easy. Let's say silver is worth $20 an ounce. Okay. So therefore, a quarter is worth how much? Help me out there, children. I want to make sure you're following this. If a dollar is worth 20, a quarter dollar is worth
five.
But so there's some junk inside this too. So this is 75% of the $5. A quarter is worth $5. Melt this down. It's 75% of $5, which is what? What's three quarters of $5? About $3.75. This is actual $3 at today's rates, $3.75 in silver, actual silver. Now, hang on. What if this quarter, what if the silver price was $100? What if all of a sudden, as we saw there, Larry, in 1980, it shot the $100 value of silver? Well, now what's a quarter of real silver worth? Why $50? Yeah, just for that? Well, actually, you got to melt it down, so it's $35. This right here, what's this thing worth? Not worth anything, right? Not worth anything at all. And silver, see, so here's, we have some junk silver. My wife and I, we have some. I got a little bag of it right here. You can go to the store and get that. And here's why I think it's important for everybody to understand this. Look at this. I little thing. I'm not sharing anything. How about a little? I bought about 10 of them in there. They sound different even when they jingle. But here's what I think. When we may hit the point where if the economy goes down, we're going to have to figure out a way to barter. We're going to barter. And I believe that real silver will become barterable. That I may be able to go to my neighbor and say, hey, listen, he doesn't have any money, but he's got corn. He said, well, what can you give me from that corner? I said, well, I got a real quarter here. Okay. And I see this as a bridge. Am I making sense?
Well,
as a valuable bridge.
You're absolutely correct. But I want to return to what George said for a moment.
Okay.
Recognizing that eventually, even that hard value of silver is going to be worthless. The same thing is true. He made the link to what's happening with President Trump right now. Right now, President Trump is being treated as a God hero. In reality, he is simply not fixing things. He is providing a window of opportunity for God to fix things through his people.
And that's been our theme the whole time here, right? But remember this, the Bible tells us, I'm sorry I didn't have this prepared. I didn't know we were going to go there. Okay. What did they say about the foolish virgins? Who are the foolish virgins, and what didn't the virgins do? Well, they didn't keep any coins. They didn't have any oil.
And they knew oil was needed. They knew it was needed.
They knew. So I'm not trying to get you to run out and hit the gold and silver market, but I think it'd be really, really wise to have a little bit of stuff around. So right here, this, think about this. How much is here? Gold. Gold is rich man's silver. And by that, I mean, you can go out and buy an ounce of gold, and an ounce of gold is right now, I think, about $1,200. I think I could be wrong, which is very, very historically low. It should be a lot higher than that. But you get one little tenth of a thing, a little tenth of a gold piece. It's worth one tenth of an ounce of gold. So it's a little one is worth $120, right? How do you barter with that? How do you go to your neighbor and say, hey, I got a gallon of gas here. Here's a little thing. No. That's why silver is going to be, I think. So I have right here in this little thing, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I have $1.50 and silver coins. And if silver goes to $100, a little bit more than that, don't it? So it's a security against it. Listen, money is simply a way that we barter and buy goods and services and all that stuff, right? And folks, if we think our pensions are safe, if you think your retirement money is safe in the bank, you think your money is safe on Wall Street? That's all phony. It's all phony and make believe. There is no value to it. The American dollar is worth nothing. It's backed by what? The full faith and credit of the American government. That's scary. But that's where we are. Anybody, come on in here. I'm not an expert. I'm not an expert, but this just makes sense to me. It just makes sense to me. That this right here. Larry, what was silver? $115? $115?
Well, then,
those four quarters right there are $115. You say, Coach, another
quarter? Just some historical fact. That 1979, the Hunt brothers in Texas.
Yes, sir.
Tried to corner the market on silver. And that's right. Why there was such a huge spike there in value that's back
right.
then.
That's right.
But I think somebody mentioned about, gold and silver, if you put your faith in it, it's going to let you down because you can't eat it.
Right.
It doesn't keep you warm and it doesn't make you safe. Just sit down and think what you're going to need. You're going to need water. You're going to need shelter. You're going to need food. You're going to need safety. Buy that stuff now when it's cheap, because on the day it is going to be the most expensive stuff you can find.
Lowell, that's,
and it's going to take a lot more silver than
lamps trim, isn't it?
Now.
That's keeping your lamps trim. See,
as an alternative to gold and silver, I personally believe that weapons and ammunition are going to be just as marketable.
Bingo. And Coach, our children, this is our inheritance. This is, I'm just saying, 75 acres down here. We've got 4 acres that are orchards. We have a sewer system treatment plant. Not that I would at this time, but at the end of that thing, you could literally drink that water. We have a well that pumps. We have deer stands and ammos, and we got sons that are not only ready to protect that land, but also to help reap the fruit from that land. That's how you're going to sustain right there.
Amen. Well, the problem, Dale, is you're only 5 feet above sea level. That's what the problem is. Okay, yeah, now, understand, if you guys get gold and silver, okay, you better have guns to be able to keep it. If you have food, you better have guns to be able to keep it. But having a gun is not enough. You need to know how to use it, and you have to have the right mindset to be able to deal with the situation, whatever that is. Initially, I don't think that gold and silver is going to have any barter value. It's on down the road. It's wealth preservation. That's what it is.
It's real wealth. And Gary Donahoe said it, silver and gold will always be worth something. Paper dollars.
Hey,
yes.
Hey, Coach, you may not be an expert, but you sure have a lot of common sense and wisdom. Hey, I know Sheila Zielinski was going to be our guest this morning, and this has been a great show. But I listened yesterday to Sheila Zielinski's show, and Steve Quayle was on the show, and it's really worth listening to. It's a great listen. And, you know, one thing Steve Quayle talked about, and it just resonated with my spirit, because he talked about the hard times coming if America doesn't repent, which it doesn't look like we are. But he said he believes there's going to be safe places. And so, and he said that's dependent upon us being obedient to the Lord. And so, you know what? That's a great hope. Even in the midst of trials, as we do everything we can to prepare and, like Chad said, train properly and all that, you know, what a hope to know that God will provide safe places for his people.
Yeah, yes, and folks, I want you to consider this, right? Right now we know that Donald Trump, the government, the Senate, the House, whatever, they are not in control of the financial situation in America. They're not. The deep swamp, the Fed, whoever they are the ones who are in control of our money. And it was one of those old guys, I can't remember which one it was, he says, give me control of the money and I care not who's in control of the politics. So here's the truth. If Trump is successful in some of these things that are going on, the deep state's solution will be what? They control the money.
Collapse the system.
They control the money. So their answer to it will be some type of financial calamity. I just, if we can't see that coming, let's see that happen. And war. That has to happen. If we are ever going to be able to restore America, which, you know, that's a Herculean task. If we're ever going to be able to do that, it's going to have to begin with a solid financial system, which we don't have. It will require some type of collapse. It's going to require it with a lot of pain. And, you know, when people are going to work and they're not, think about this. Think of all the people in the federal government that are being paid money who produce absolutely nothing. They don't produce anything but information. They pass papers, nothing. When the money shuts off at the federal government, you have any idea the horror that we could see in America? And I believe that part of the judgment of God that we see, that God has got to judge America on the greatest idol that we've created, and the greatest idol that we've created has been our prosperity. And when God brings us to our knees, we will return to God. To me, these are how those things line up. And so what I'm saying is, as Gary said, a coin will be worth something. It may not be worth much, but it's going to be a heck of a lot. This silver quarter I had, it's going to be worth more than a $100 bill. You understand, folks? Do you get that? Do you really, really understand that? I don't know what good a $100 bill would be. I'm going to tell you, this thing's going to be worth more.
You can start a fire with it.
With a paper, yeah. So we don't know, right? We don't know. Nobody has an answer to it. But if you look at the dollar, I don't have any dollars on me.
Well, Coach, history itself shows that. Look what happened in Germany when the inflation went so crazy. People were bringing barrels of paper currency just to try to get a couple loaves of bread to feed their family.
And we
today.
We don't think it can happen in America, do we? We don't think that can happen in America, but it can.
Venezuela today.
So
you heard something else to keep in mind is that when the precious metals prices take off, and there'll be a rush to buy them, but there
will
not be the supply.
That's right.
You know, if you're thinking about it, pull the trigger now if you can. All right. Don't wait until silver's $50 and everybody wants it.
Take possession of it.
And Dave, I was just going to say, look, I know some guys that are on Social Security or, you know, they just don't have much money. Look, buy one coin.
That's right.
One coin. We'll do you some good on down the road.
One a month, brother. Listen, folks, if you buy one silver coin, you're not spending the money. Quit looking at it like you spend it. You have something that is worth value. It's not like going out and buying a pair of clothes or a pair of shoes or a car. You have something of value. So every time you think, boy, my finances are running low. No, you go get a coin and you go back and you cash it back in if you need to. It's a store of wealth. Okay? A store of wealth. I'm not a financial advisor, but this stuff just makes sense. It just makes sense. Come on, man. Come on.
So here's your game plan for the money. You take $20 and you send it to the Path of Salt Ministry, and you take another $20 and you go online and you buy a coin every month. $40. That's your plan for success.
That's right, brother. Invest in the kingdom and invest in the tangible stuff. See, listen, folks, listen. Here's the great thing about being here. We're so far ahead of the curve. Larry showed us that when the Hunt brothers were trying to corner silver, it was 100. This thing right here in my hand was worth $35. And it will be again. It's going to be worth $35 because the dollar isn't worth anything. This is a store of value. It holds value. This is probably, your property is probably going to go down, and this is probably going to go up. It's important. Take possession. If you can't hold it, you don't have it. Don't invest in silver certificates. Don't invest in silver mines. Don't invest in it. Mail it to me, baby. Mail it. And if you have to, don't put it in the bank. Find a secure place off away from your house where you can store it. That's my suggestion.
If you want to save a little bit of money, save your shipping charges on buying it online. Go to a pawn shop and you might do your price comparison, but you will probably be able to save your shipping and handling cost.
Junk silver. Folks, you can get junk silver. That's like it's everywhere. Junk silver. Now it's getting less and less. Junk silver, and it's 77% real thing, and it's actual coins. I watch every time somebody gives me change back when I go to the store. Man, I'm looking. Was somebody dumb enough to throw a real quarter in there, a real half dollar, dimes and nickels? Not so much. I mean, you can get dimes. Dimes are 10%, right? It's 10% of the price. Dimes and nickels, quarters, half dollars. Be careful with half dollars because a lot of those are Kennedy half dollars. And those Kennedy half dollars are only about 50% silver. So look for the old, real old silver halves and silver. Man. Hey, I'm going to be in where? Bethlehem, PA, Hellertown, PA, tomorrow from 9 until 3 o'clock. If you're close, get down there, come down, say hi, shake hands, eat some pizza with us, get to know each other. It's all important that, again, as the scripture says, to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. We're going to go to Florida next week. If you want to go with us, join us. I see Craig Fawcett's in here with us today. Craig's driving all the way down there with his little bobcat. Going to get some work done. Going to have some good fellowship, good time. And be six of us there, and we got room for more if you want to come. So this is the day the Lord has made. This is not yesterday, not tomorrow. This is it. But a wise man sees trouble coming and prepares. Let's be prepared. God bless you. Have a great weekend. I'll see you first thing Monday morning.